Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. We're glad to have you with us. We're also very happy to have back here on the program the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore. For a long time now, he's been stopping by on a regular basis first Wednesday of the month, and we talk about cooking, and we always have a good time. And we pick something, and when I say we, I mean he, picks something to concentrate on. Could be the featured ingredient, could be we've done different kinds of dishes and cooking from different places. But the whole idea is to have a good time, exchange recipes, cooking suggestions, ask questions. Any and all of that is fine. It's kind of free form. There are no definite rules. But this time around, he said, well, he would like to talk about corn. And this is something I think probably at this time of the year we certainly have done before. People look forward to having sweet corn all year long, certainly in our house. We've been enjoying it now several weekends. My wife, she's the good one. She gets up and goes to the farmer's market so that there can be good corn in the house. And we just prepare it in the simplest way. You know, we just put it in boiling water. Pretty much that's it. But it's a very versatile thing, and there's lots of things certainly that you can do with it. So he said this time around he'd like to talk about corn. He has a recipe to suggest, and maybe also people who are listening will have recipes to contribute to. So that's it here in Champaign-Urbana. If you'd like to call in, say hi, share a recipe, 333-9455. Also, we have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. So at any point here, you want to call in, join us, do that. Well, welcome back.
Yes, thank you.
Glad to have you here. So you've been thinking about corn, huh?
I have, and I've been enjoying it. So, and this is August, and Urbana likes corn, and I know I don't like repeating everything, of course, programs, but this one I always enjoy.
Yeah. Well, it is one of those things that people anticipate and look forward to. You know, you're sitting there in the wintertime in about January and you're thinking, boy, you know, what would be really nice? A really good tomato and maybe an ear of sweet corn would be a good thing.
Yep. No, that's what I think. And also, a lot of people will either invent things or find new ways of doing things. And that always intrigues me. And I have a new recipe that I'm eating and taking care of now. So I brought it along today.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. We have somebody to talk with here.
Well,
why don't we do that?
Let's talk.
Someone who's listening in Sydney. Line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I've been looking through cookbooks from South America because I remember choclos, which is mature corn, and it's used in soups.
Oh.
As chunks of corn, which it would drive me crazy because there's this corn in the soup, and in order to eat it, you have to pull it out.
And nibble around the cob.
So they cut it in like inch long, maybe 2 inches.
Yes, yes.
Cook it right in the soup.
I think probably when you stop and think about it, the corn cob has a lot of nutrients in it. In fact, the pioneers used to make what was called a corn cob jelly.
I've had that.
Because they would husk the corn and dry the corn and then take it off the cob and then boil the cobs. And it gave off a sweetish liquid, very much like a sugar. And they'd make jelly out of it.
Fantastic. They still do that in North Carolina because that's where I bought it.
Oh, well. Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Farmer's Market.
Oh, good for you.
So I was looking through these two cookbooks that I have from Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, there are a couple of recipes for cream of choclo soup. One of them which uses ground pork in it, and the other one which uses a cup of white wine and 4 ounces of ground up nuts, which is interesting. 2 liters of stock, cup of wine, 4 ounces of ground nuts, 6 ears of corn, which you take off, the best I can translate it these many years later, you take them off the cob and strain or put them through a strainer. So you've got the cream.
Oh, I see. Oh, yes.
And then you use a quarter of a cup of cream, salt, and pepper.
Oh, my.
That sounds interesting.
It does sound good, and you would get all that stuff out of the inside of the corn. Yes.
Yeah, it's great. Just like we would do cream corn.
Except yes.
And then the other recipe I just came across, which is neat, is pascalitos. And I can't remember what aceitunas is, but I think it's olives. So you have 2 ears of corn, 2 eggs, and 4 ounces of, I'm sure that's olives,
uh-huh.
and salt to taste. And you beat the eggs. You put in the corn that's been taken off the cob and the cut-up olives, if that's what it is. I have to look it up. Fry it in little spoonfuls, like deep fry, and then you put them on top of a cream soup.
Oh, on top of soup.
Yeah, like we would do dumplings, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Fried first and then floated on top of the soup. I got to try that one.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Very tasty.
Yeah. Of course, what they do there, what I remember down there is that what they want from their produce is the biggest, the heaviest, the starchiest. The peas were the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Peas and corn. So it was very difficult to get really, really young, sweet corn, because I was down there before the sweet gene came into being.
Oh, my, yes.
So their corn is really starchy. That's what they need. That's what they want.
And maybe I'm thinking about Peruvian corn, that great big, huge corn.
Could be.
Isn't that Peruvian that was roasted and you sort of eat as a snack?
Yeah. Oh,
great,
I don't know.
Great big. Oh, it's huge. It's almost the size of a dime.
Right.
It's big.
Mm. Okay. Well, that was my contribution to the corn thing.
Well, good. Thank you. Sit back and listen now.
I sure will.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Uh-huh. And we look forward to hearing from some other people. If you have a good corn recipe, that's what we're all about here this morning. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Well, do you want to? We don't have any callers right at the moment. Do you want to go ahead and talk about the recipe?
Well, I can talk about my recipe. Yes, this is rather peculiar, but one of the reasons I like it is it's good. Second, is I can make a quantity of it and keep it in the refrigerator and then make these little things up as I want to do them. It is a ravioli using corn and cream and basil. And it seems to be, I was surprised at how easy it was. Cut the corn off the cob of 2 ears. It only takes, you don't have to have a whole lot. 2 ears of corn, and then I use a red bell pepper, but I chop the whole red bell pepper up and then only use 3 tablespoons of it and put the rest in the freezer. So the corn, I mean, the pepper is going to be in the freezer, and then the rest of the materials would be put together. Then I chop up a whole bunch of green onions. You could use regular onions if you want to, but I like the green tops of the onions and the small onions. So onions chopped, bell pepper chopped, and corn taken off of the husk. Then now the recipe that I have uses an awful lot of butter and a lot of heavy cream and a lot of other things that have an awful lot of cholesterol in them. I cut this back and I use a Neufchâtel cheese instead of the regular cream cheese, and I use a low-fat ricotta. And I can't really tell the difference because you've got these other flavors and tastes going along in there. And then I cut way back on the butter. Except at the very end, I don't use any real butter. Hmm. I just use an oil to sauté. So what you do is you prepare the corn and prepare the pepper. Sauté those along with an onion until they get start cooking just a little bit, and then toss in some basil, and then mix that around. Let that kind of cook down just a tiny bit, and then I use a half of a. The recipe asks for 6 ounces, and I know that the cheese comes in 8 ounce packets, but I use the Neufchâtel. And I use a half of that because I'm going to make some more later. So I put that one away. And the same for the ricotta. I use about a half a cup of ricotta, which may be a little bit less than half of the amount in the recipe. But the big kick is, well, you mix all that up, and then you pour a little bit. You mix the cheese in with the sautéed vegetables, and you heat that up, and you put in a little bit of cream. Instead of cream, I use no-fat, half and half. And I can't really tell the difference. It is pleasurable, so I'm not leaving anything out. So a little bit of half and half, and then you let that cook down because it will reduce quite a bit, and then set that aside. And then the crazy thing about this is it uses wonton wrappers, and that makes a very, very light, delicate ravioli. And what I do to make it easier, I put three pieces down, and then I take a brush and just wet the outside of those three pieces, then put an amount of mixture into the middle of it and set another wrapper on top of it, and then go around and mash it very hard. Mm-hmm. And then I thought of this on the way over. Why do I go ahead and take a cookie cutter and cut it out? Only so it's round, I guess.
Because, so that it looks pretty.
So that it looks pretty. You're absolutely right. So that it looks pretty. And then those are cooked in very slow. Don't boil the water and just boil it and boil it and boil it. Bring it to a boil and then turn it down to a simmer and slip those little soft raviolis in. They only take, with the wonton skins, they only take 2 minutes to cook. And everything else is cooked inside anyway, so you're not really having to cook the whole thing. Then scoop them out onto a paper towel so that they kind of get the moisture off of them. And then taking a new clean saucepan, I melt only 1 tablespoon of butter. And although it asks for 3, I cut back on the butter, but it is necessary. Gosh, that flavor is good. So melted butter, throw the dried off wontons back in, and begin to kind of saute them a little bit. They'll want to fry a little bit. And then put more basil in, of the last of the basil you put it in twice. And then pour some cream over that. Now, one of the recipes says make this sauce separately. I like to cook it and cook the raviolis inside. It's almost like making pierogies. You know, mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. cook, you boil them, and then you fry them, and you fry them in a sauce. And what I do is that I generally make about 9 of these, 3, 6, 9, which is probably just a little bit over what you may want to eat. 8 might be better, but they're small. And as a first course, they'd be great. As a main meal, they'd be great. And then I've got some left over that I can make again. I put that back in the icebox and wait until I want to make some more. So it's rather quick and easy to make. And my surprise is, why does this taste so good? And I do know that it's that butter at the end. But the cheeses are mellow, and the corn and the red pepper and a lot of pepper. Yes, I forgot. A lot of a pepper. You don't need too much salt, but a lot of pepper. That's okay. It's more of a procedure than it is a recipe. You can't go wrong if you put all those things together, okay, one way or another. But I was surprised. I thought, well, this sounds good and it looks easy. I think I'll give it a try. Well, I keep working at it.
All right. Well, if you drop us a line, we'll send you the recipe. We've heard, and I apologize, I haven't really been on top of this. Someone called recently or sent me an email, said, gee, you know, you're kind of getting your recipes on the website. Oh. And it's true, we are. And we had a volunteer who was doing that for us for a while. And I guess I'm not really sure where we are with that because I think we don't have anything any more recent than April. But if you just want to drop us a line, we could certainly we could send you this particular recipe. And hopefully soon we can start getting some recipes back on the website so you can get them that way. You can look at certainly at past recipes, anything from, I think, last April back. And there's a lot of recipes there, but the things that we have now been doing over the summertime would not be there. But this one, maybe if you just want to get this particular one, we can send it to you. And if you have a question or you have a recipe to share, you can give us a call. The guest here is the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. He stops by here once a month. We've been doing that for a long time on the first Wednesday at 10 o'clock, having a good time talking about cooking. And this time around, since it's the right time of the year, he says, well, corn. Let's talk about corn and see if we have some folks out there who have maybe interesting recipes. Certainly, you can just put it in a pot of boiling water, and that's a great
thing. Good.
There's nothing wrong with that. But
put some sugar in the water.
Well, now, this is my wife. She's the one who cooks the corn. Uh-huh. She does put sugar in the water. She also puts lemon juice in the water, and I'm not really quite sure what either of those are supposed to do.
Well, you got hot lemonade when you're done.
Well, the pot comes out looking really good, you know. If you put a little acid in your water,
yes,
the pot
right.
looks really good.
You're right.
Let's
you're
talk
right.
with someone in Urbana. This is line one. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Doyle.
Hi.
Thanks for your show. This is my favorite recipe. Everything I use right now comes right out of the garden, and it's very simple to make. And the key to this recipe is fresh lime juice.
Oh, yes.
I start with a black iron skillet and about one tablespoon of butter and olive oil. And I begin by sauteing any kind of onion, green onion, red onion, white onion, whatever you have on hand. Maybe one onion, one or two jalapenos, and maybe a half of a red pepper. Once I get all that softened, I then add corn that's fresh cut from the cob, mm-hmm. maybe 6 to 12 ears. I put that into the skillet, and at the end of the cooking time, which is only a minute or two, I add fresh lime juice and any fresh herb you have on hand. I like to put mint, basil, parsley, whatever is near
the back
door.
That sounds good. Those three, yeah.
In the pot. And within 5 minutes, it's on your plate, and oh, is it good?
That sounds pretty nifty. The idea of putting the lime juice there. Where do you think this recipe came from?
Well, I originally found it in the Fine Cooking magazine,
uh-huh.
and lime juice really sets the whole thing off. It just brings it all together at the very end, and oh, is it simple to make?
So the thing is that all of these flavors seem to sound like Mexico, and I do know that they squirt lime juice onto corn on the cob that they've grilled.
That's
so
right.
I have an idea. It's a nice version of that. I myself always get very uptight about grilling corn. My brother in Wyoming does it all the time, and I just let him do it. But I have an idea of these things, especially with that. Lime juice is something that is very peculiar to corn. Boy, does it taste good.
Well, good. Well, I got to get back to spreading manure.
Okay.
Later.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks
bye
for
bye.
The recipe.
Bye-bye.
Others are certainly welcome. You got one to share with us, 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Roasting, the grilling the corn on, mm-hmm. on the grill. Now, this is one of those things that for years I've thought, I really want to try that. And somehow I just don't get around to
doing
it.
That's my feeling too. I leave it up to other people.
And it cannot be terribly hard. I suppose the one thing you just have to be careful is that you don't burn it.
No, you do want to burn it just a little bit.
Well, I mean,
you
like,
want it scorched,
you know, not like,
to...
you know, Cajun blackened corn.
Well,
you know,
no, no, like it's that. Not. It's not like that.
But you want to, yeah. And
there are several ways of doing it. One of the ways is to don't shuck the corn. Just pull it down and get the silks out and then pull it back up, and you could use a rubber band or string or something and tie that back on, and then soak it in cold water for, 10, 15 minutes. Then put all of that with the husk and everything, and then burning the husk adds a little bit of smoky flavor to it, and it works all right. Mm-hmm. I, however, like the corn kernels themselves just a little bit blackened along the edge somewhere. Yeah. I do like that, and street vendors cook it in that way. They shuck it all the way, take all the husk off. But I do know that some people like to leave that on.
Well, I do like the idea of, because you get some caramel. It's got sugar in it, so you get a little caramelization when the corn itself gets a little bit burned, or you get some color.
Yeah,
on it.
Somewhere.
So now, would you oil that or do anything to it before if you're going to put your naked ears of corn on the grill, would you do anything to that?
I think I have seen people brush it with butter while it's cooking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not before, but while it's cooking, we're either going to turn it over and then brush it a little bit.
Certainly, I've seen various kinds of chili rubs put on the corn, and I'm assuming that you put that on there before you put it on the fire.
I think somehow you're making me have memories. I think I saw Paula Deen use a rub on the corn and to rub some more stuff on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is done.
Well, maybe we've got somebody who's
share Paula
some
Deen.
Thoughts about that Paula. She's totally over the top. Somebody will tell us about that. We do, in fact, have someone to talk with in Aurora. How about that? Line number 4. Hello.
Hi. It's very good to hear your voices again.
Well,
I guess
and you too.
Kind of, I haven't caught up yet with all. We moved. I moved after 54 years in one place.
Oh, my, yes.
So, but we're getting there. I wanted to tell you, I just got back from New York. My sister celebrated a birthday. And I wanted to tell you what the cake was.
Yes.
It was a marzipan cake. Can you imagine that?
Let's see. I'm trying to think of the name of that cake that uses...
what?
The name of the cake, yeah.
And it had a Scrabble board on top of it as the design. And it really was great to see the Scrabble board on the top of the cake.
So the decoration was good.
And
yeah,
and her birthday... It being one of the neighbors with her name Martha on the top.
Oh yes,
it was.
That's funny.
It was really great, and she had her dinner at a special restaurant, and then in the evening, friends brought, and I don't know whether I'm sure you've eaten it. You've eaten around the world. They bought pierogi.
Oh yes,
and we had pierogi for supper.
I just made some last week.
What?
I just made some last week.
Did you
pierogis,
really?
Pierogis, yes.
You really can't make them. You eat too many of them.
Well, yes. You're right.
They're just a wonderful product, and they don't add to your trying to lose weight at all.
Well,
it's good to hear your voice, and I will be better about dialing in because, like I said, we're getting settled here.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear you again. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Well, other folks who are listening, we're about midway through here. This is the first Wednesday of the month for a long time. It's been our tradition to talk about food and cooking with this guy that we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. And every time around, the show has a kind of a theme. We don't really stick to that theme necessarily, but at least that we start out with one. And this time around, he said, well, let's talk about corn. It is now the time when you can go down to the farmer's market and get good corn. And as I've said, I think there are some people who all year look forward to this. And so the question is, well, what are you going to do with that corn? Yeah, you can just put it in a pot of water and boil it, and there's nothing wrong with that. But maybe there's some other things. Maybe you have another good recipe to share. And particularly, as I said a little bit ago, I'm really curious about roasting it on the grill, on the barbecue grill, which is I've seen recipes for that, and I know that people do that. And when summer rolls around, I say to myself, okay, well, I'm gonna try that. And somehow I never get around to it. So maybe somebody has some wisdom of on the method, you know, what you want to do with that.
I'm going to guess this as to why you and I don't like to do that. Because no one else ever did it in the family before, but there are areas in the country, regions, that have done roasted. So if people call in with roasted, I'll bet you we can locate that it is a regional thing and has always been done.
Well, I'm sure that that's right. And
but I know that's why I don't do it. I never was taught how to do it. You know, no one ever did it. And so it's too new.
We weren't raised that way.
Well, wasn't you're absolutely right.
All right. Let's talk with someone else in Urbana here, line number one. Hello.
Hi. I would like to hear people say what they do about microwaving corn on the cob in the husk. I mean, do you soak it in water? How long do you do it? I've heard that, you know, you don't get that watery taste in the corn.
No, and it takes a very short length of time, 4 minutes in the microwave.
Water? Do I put water on the husk?
You don't really have to.
Okay. I don't prepare it in any way. Just pop it in.
You just, well, I would take the silks off.
Okay.
And then pop it in, and it sort of steams itself. With the husks on it, it's going to steam itself.
Right.
So it isn't going to be exposed to direct heat. So, and then that's why we were talking about grilling it, because you maybe want it to be charred or touched by the heat. But a microwave is a very, very good way of doing it. And I don't think that you're going to hurt anything if you peel it all the way off and soak it in water.
Oh, but...
I would do ice water.
Oh, okay. All right.
But it only takes, I think it only takes about 4 minutes. If you're going to put a lot in there, it'll take a little bit longer.
Right.
Because it absorbs the heat all over. But it's a very efficient way to cook vegetables.
Okay. Thank
you. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, thank you. That's the thing about cooking that on the grill with the husk. The husk is going to char.
Yes,
and that will contribute to some flavor.
Some taste.
But
yes.
I think almost you do kind of end up steaming the corn because you're trapping that moisture in there. And that is going to be a different thing from if you then strip the husk off and just put your naked corn there on the grill. Yeah. Okay. I think we've got somebody else lined up here. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, by the way, you'd like to call in, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, and that one is good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. I think we have a return call from our caller in Sydney on line two. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
I was responding to the woman with the microwave question.
Oh, yes.
I've just discovered my mother cooks corn in the microwave. She peels it all the way and then wraps it in wax paper. She doesn't soak it or anything.
Oh, wrapped. Uh-huh.
Puts it in wax paper and microwaves it that way. So it still steams, I think.
And how long does she...
I can't remember if she told me 2 minutes or 4 minutes. Not very long.
No, it's not very long. And then, of course, if you increase the number of ears, you add a little
time. Oh, yeah. She does.
But wrapped up in wax paper. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. And the other thing about the, I was going to tell you about doing it on the grill. We just started doing this last year, and I personally don't like it charred. But when we put it in the husk, we don't take the silks. I check to see if there's earworm or anything in there first, but we don't take the silks out even. We just soak it in water for 10 or 15 minutes, put it on the grill, and then all that stuff comes off real easily
yes, it does.
So, and my husband's not a perfectionist, so we have a few silks left, and I just pull them off on my plate, and it's no big deal. You know, they come off real easily. So, anyway, but that I like that steam flavor.
Yes,
and you don't get all that extra water in the corn itself either. Oh, and there was one other thing. My mother said the other day, she went to a corn boil in northern Wisconsin a few years ago.
Oh yes,
and of course they had the huge pot of water, and they put the corn in there. But then they also they melted the butter right in the pot.
Oh, so as you drag it out of the water, you get some butter on it.
Exactly. It's pre-buttered.
How funny. And that would be melted and soak right in, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily good for a small batch, but if you do a big pot, it would work fine.
Well, that's very interesting. I've never heard of that. I like that.
I hadn't either.
I like that.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
I'll make way for somebody else now. I've called twice.
Oh, no, that's great. No, that's fine.
It's a good program. I always enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Well,
bye-bye.
We do indeed have someone else here ready to go. Someone who is somewhere southwest of Champaign on our toll-free line, line four. Hello.
Yes, I just clean the corn, and a lot of times we eat one person at a time, so... I just clean it, take the silks and husk off and rinse it underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put it, wrap it in a paper towel, and I put it in the microwave for 2 minutes, and that's great.
Oh, 2 minutes for one ear.
Yes.
Okay, I'll try to remember that. I know it's 4 minutes.
Wrap it up in a paper towel.
And in a paper towel, yeah.
Yeah, and then 2 minutes per ear.
Well, then you've got a fresh one every time somebody wants one.
Right.
That's good. Well, thank you.
It's kind of a short order cook
yeah.
around our house.
But that's
okay.
That's a good. I got the right numbers now.
Okay. Well,
and
very good.
I also love corn chowder.
Oh, that is good, isn't it? Yes.
With a few carrots and onions and green peppers and
potatoes.
Potatoes and cheese.
And cheese. I don't know about cheese.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
And you put that in early or at the end, the cheese?
I put it at the end.
And what do you have, a cheddar?
A mix. Cheddar and a lot of times I get cheddar and mozzarella.
Oh, my. That sounds very brave. I don't believe I've ever heard of putting cheese in a chowder.
Oh, I love it.
Well, good. I'll give it a try because I'm very fond of corn chowder. I like making that a lot. It's good. Thank
Once in a while, I drop a few peas in it, but not too often.
Huh. Well, it's going to be good, though.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. And again, other folks who are listening, if you have questions, comments, recipes to share with us, that'd be great. You can pick up the telephone and dial the number 333-9455. That's Champaign-Urbana, toll-free 800-222-9455. It is the first Wednesday of the month. For a long time, we've been talking about food and cooking on this show. First Wednesday, 10 o'clock, with the man we like to call our chef in residence. Let me just point something out, ladies and gentlemen. This is a purely honorary title.
It is not honorary. It's not honorary. It's wholehearted.
Well, yeah, that too. But it's like, you know, he didn't go to chef school. Okay, that's fine. But as far as we're concerned, he's the guy we turn to when we want to talk about cooking. And we always have a good time when he is here. So if you have a recipe, you can give us a call, 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. I thought it was interesting, the caller who called in and talked about doing things with the cob, and I guess
yes.
That just goes to the, you know, there was a time when you didn't throw stuff away until you had gotten everything you possibly
right.
could get
yeah.
out of it. Is there anything else that you can think of do with the cob that you could easily do with the cob?
Well,
after you've cut the corn off?
No, because... As I say, what it was the dried cob maintains an amount of sugar.
Oh, okay.
That boiling that then extracts that, and that seemed to be the major use of the cob, other than fires.
Oh, okay.
You'd stoke the fire. You'd get a very hot fire very fast.
So that wouldn't be the kind of thing that it would be worth hanging on to if you were going to make a stock or
I don't think so. There might be some value left when you cut the corn off. There might be some leftover milk and crumbs and such things of the corn, and that might cook off into a stock. But I don't think so.
It'd make a pipe out of it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's true. You could make a pipe out of
it. Yeah. All right. Let's start with somebody in Downs, line number 4. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
I have been reading a lot of corn soup recipes just in, I think, this summer that put the cobs, the fresh cobs,
yes,
into the stock and cook it.
Well, that's going to extract the sugar from it. So,
right.
And then of course they take that out and
right.
throw it away.
Yeah.
So that would be one way of getting some more nutrients, I guess. I like that.
But I have another recipe. You do scrape out, if you cut it off the cob, you do scrape the ears to get the milk.
Yes, as much as you can, yes.
Yeah, because that's wonderful stuff. I have a recipe for chicken tacos with corn and avocado.
Oh.
And all of this is made with cooked stuff. It's a great thing to do if you have leftover corn on the cob that you've boiled.
Yes.
Or if you've cooked it for some other reason. So it's all cooked, easy to put together, and for a hot day. So you need...
Yes.
Pardon?
Yes, go ahead.
You need about 4 ears of corn. Proportions here are, you know, really variable.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever you want. A couple of cups of cooked chicken.
Yeah, chicken.
A small avocado.
Right.
4 or 5 tablespoons of fresh lime juice.
Oh, there we go to lime juice
right.
again.
A large tomato.
Okay.
Whatever kind of chilies you would like, if you like them. Serranos, jalapenos. I like to add a little bit of chipotle and adobo sauce to this.
That has become a great favorite, hasn't it?
Do you puree it?
No. Generally, I chop the pepper up, and then I put in an extra tablespoon of the juice.
I just take the whole thing and throw it in a food processor
and
then I just use it out of the jar. I put it in a glass jar in the refrigerator. And
oh, I see. Okay, good. Because I was saying, do you want to do that to one?
No, but that way I'm much more likely to use it.
I agree. I remember the first time I used it, I took one out of the can and put it back in.
And they're slimy.
Yes, and they were not. And so I'm glad to know that there's a better way of doing it. Because I have become not an aficionado, but I do enjoy that chipotle pepper.
I put it in so many things. And then the only other thing for this recipe is some chopped fresh cilantro.
Cilantro, yes.
And you chop all these things up, and you put them in tacos, in tortillas, just cold. And you can add salsa, cheese, lettuce, whatever other things you might want to put in. But I like it just like it is.
That sounds very modern. It may well be a very, very old recipe, but
it is.
It sounds very modern because of the way we eat. I've enjoyed some of these corn salsas that keep popping up all the time. And they snuck in as a 3-bean salad with corn and black beans and some more things to it. And now they kind of forget the black beans and just make a salsa with corn. So I know those things are changing. I find that very amusing.
Yeah, this actually came from a cookbook called Mexican Light.
Spelled
with the GHT, not with the TE, by Martha Rose Schulman, who has done a number of books that she's done Mediterranean Light, and she looks for authentic recipes and then cuts the fat in them.
Oh, uh-huh.
And does it very well. She doesn't use a lot of, strange ingredients. And does a very good job of it.
Well, this is going to be very tasty. Lime juice and avocado and chilies and cilantro.
Yeah.
Those are nice, strong tastes. And then the tomato and the corn and the chicken, they kind of float as a second level there. That sounds good.
This is one I will make homemade corn tortillas for.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Yes. Well, thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, let me ask you. I'm curious now. When you take your chipotles and adobo and you make a puree out of that and you put that in a jar and you put it in the fridge, how long do you feel comfortable about keeping that in the fridge?
Just about forever.
Oh, okay.
I just don't know that anything's going to attack that.
It would have to be pretty tough.
I mean, it's got the chilies. It's got vinegar.
Vinegar is a savor. Yeah.
And I'm pretty careful about using a clean, spoon to dip it out. But I'm using it faster and faster.
Well, that's a good and I have some recipes that use chipotle, and I really like that flavor. And it seems like I can't quite use them fast enough. So either what I've done is I've started to, when I open up the can, divide it into, take 2 or 3 and wrap them up in Saran and put them in the freezer.
Oh, uh-huh.
So then I would just pull out one little packet and just have that much, which seems to work okay. But I like your idea too.
I have started using it a lot with hoisin sauce. If you know the
really,
Chinese
sauce. Sure. Uh-huh.
I make a marinade for pork tenderloin.
Oh, my.
With chipotle and hoisin sauce and some soy sauce and sesame oil and garlic.
Oh, that's going to be a taste treat.
And then I make a fair amount of the marinade, and then I scrape it off and I heat it up and add a little bit of chicken broth and make a sauce out of it.
Oh, my.
It's a strong flavor. It's, you know, it's not a gravy.
Yeah.
I really am liking that combination of that sweet and, you know.
Well, that's interesting. I wouldn't have thought of combining those two. One or the other I like and have used, but I guess I would never have thought about putting those two things together. Well, that's interesting. Okay.
Don't know how it happened. Did one day.
These things happen in the kitchen.
It's inspired.
You know? Yeah. All right. Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. We have about 5-6 minutes left in this part of Focus with our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. We're talking about corn, and if you have a good recipe, maybe you'll share it with us. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Line one is next. This is someone in Champaign. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I've only sort of been coming in and out on the program, so I don't know if you've touched on this, but I have a question, and the question has to do with, I've been growing some tomatillos. Someone gave me some seeds, and I don't know what to do with them. So I wondered, maybe Doyle has some good ideas, especially since you've been talking about salsas, etc. So I'll just listen on the air and see if you have any ideas about tomatillos.
Well, they are used in making a green sauce, but they act like, and you cook them like they're green tomatoes, and I've never felt that they had an identifiable flavor. So they're kind of an extra green stock that you can add other things. You would add chilies and such things to it and make sauces. You peel the paper husks off of them, and then you boil them. I'm not sure if you boil them cut or whole, but they're mashed up and made into a green sauce, which would accompany meats and such things. I'm trying to remember what else goes into a tomatillo, but
Well, I'm just here for the benefit of the call and anybody else. We've talked about this before. There's a website that's called Epicurious, where you can search for recipes, and they have recipes from some of the big cooking magazines. So, for example, if you wanted to know, well, what do I do with tomatillo, they have a recipe search. And so if you type that in there, as I just did, you will get 107 hits for tomatillo. And, you know, for example, here, the first three, there are three tomatillo salsas, one from Bon Appetit and two from Gourmet Magazine. And then there's tomatillo celery salsa, tomatillo sauce, tomatillo salsa, tomatillo and yellow tomato salsa with tortilla chips, tomatillo guacamole salsa, grilled monster pork chops with tomatillo and green applesauce. So there's lots of recipes here. And, for example, here's the first one. It's a tomatillo salsa. This is the one that's from Bon Appetit magazine. And it's not very complicated. This has only four things: tomatillos, green apple, like the Granny Smith, basil, and mint. So there's one. Then there's a next one that comes after that. This is the one from Gourmet Magazine from last fall, September of 2007. And this is a recipe that has tomatillos and a serrano chili and some onion, some garlic, some water, some cilantro, and some lime juice.
So, sounds standard.
Yeah. Yeah. So the kind of things that you would sort of think of as being, well, what would you put in a classic sort of salsa? Sounds like you could pretty much use any of those things that you could that you would really
I think so. I'd only tried cooking with tomatillo once, and that's been quite a while ago. And I remember after it was done, I thought, well, this is just a green sauce, which it is.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, probably for a long time it would here where we live, it wouldn't be all that easy to get unless you grew it, and I think probably now probably most supermarkets are going to have them, so that if you're not growing them yourself, you can probably just go in and buy them. But I would, you know, I would say to the listener, if he has internet access, either try the look at the Epicurious website, or just type in tomatillo and recipes, and I'm sure that you would get recipes. Or I'm sure you could go to the library and look for Latin Latin cookbooks, Mexican cookbooks, and I'm sure that you would find recipes for that.
Yep.
Too. All right. We've got a couple minutes left here. Somebody wants to give us a call? 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. And Doyle did give earlier in the program, he gave a recipe.
It was for raviolis.
A ravioli recipe.
Basil cream sauce.
That's another thing that I've heard of doing, and I know people do, and that is using the wonton skins to make ravioli, which also I have not done. I have done, you know, sort of the laborious process where you make pasta dough and you, one of those machines with a little crank.
Oh, yes.
You crank out the sheets. And then I have a thing that's it's a frame.
Yeah, a little mold.
A little mold. And you roll out one sheet and you put that down. And then you put your filling in the little pockets and you take another sheet and you put it on top of that and you roll over that with a rolling pin. And it's got a little crinkle cut edge, so it pops out these little raviolis, and it's really cool. It's a lot of fun, but it's also kind of a lot of work. So I guess I like the idea.
Well,
of,
you'll be surprised at the wonton skin because it's terribly light, very light and delicate, and not like a pasta at all.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk with someone. This is someone in Urbana. It's line number 4. Hello.
Hi. I have 2 questions, please. One, there is something I'd read in a Chicago paper review about a Mexican restaurant that has a dish made with a corn fungus. Can you tell me the name? It's something like it begins with HUI.
Yeah, David, you remember?
It's a huitlacoche. That's corn right. smut is
corn
what
smut.
They call it
right?
up this way, and it's something that you can buy. I think you
right,
can
right.
buy it in a can.
Can you tell me, or do you have time to spell it, please? Then,
then
I can ask for it at a Mexican grocery.
Let's see. It's something like H U I T L A C H E. Does that? No. Wait, look.
The other name for it was corn.
Well,
corn
it's called corn smut because here that's something like if farmers see that on their corn, that's that's a bad thing.
The cornfield is dead.
It's a bad thing. But
corn
it's
smut.
Yes, SMUT.
Okay, let me see. HUT.
That's a funny name.
Well, but it.
No, I mean it.
Only in Mexico did they ever decide that it was an extraordinarily delicious.
Oh, yeah, the
material.
Restaurant reviewer
so,
was saying, whenever I can find this, I get it.
Well, that is the reason. But in this corn state, corn smut was a failure of the crop. You had to destroy it. They didn't know what to do with it. They hadn't learned to eat it. This it's only been used in America, commercially, for only about 10 years. It hasn't been that long.
Yeah. So I hear a guy. I got your – here. This is the correct spelling. It is H-U-I-T-L-A-C-O-C-H-E, huitlacoche. And you can – and if you go to a Mexican restaurant, they may have something with that in there. And it's you can actually buy it. I'm sure if you go someplace where they have international ingredients and things like that, I'm sure that you can actually buy it.
The other one was, I like tortilla chips. Are there differences in like nutrition or other stuff between like red, blue, yellow, and other colors of corn? I know, you know, if it's fried in a poor quality oil, that can mess up almost anything.
I'm not so sure there's that much difference in the corns because they're all that you described are really older varieties of corn, which are probably have about the same value, food value. I enjoy blue corn, and blue corn you generally get in New Mexico, and the others I think that they're just a whim of whatever is regionally available.
All right. I I had one other thing to ask you, but it was a restaurant recommendation, and I wouldn't want to say it on
the
air.
Oh, why not? Why not?
All right. El Toro, you know, a local restaurant chain.
Oh, yes. On
They make extremely nice tomatillo sauce.
Well?
Like a salsa.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
for dipping.
Yeah.
And almost none of my friends will eat it because it's so hot.
It's hot. Well, they're probably putting some hot peppers. They're probably putting a lot of jalapeno in
it. It is terrific. You could almost eat it with a spoon.
Okay.
And if it isn't,
but I didn't want a plug for someplace.
Oh, no, okay. I'm all for that.
That's okay.
Thank you for doing this
show.
You
bet. Thank you for listening.
Right, thanks.
Have a nice morning.
All right, you too. Well, we're kind of at the part where we have to finish up. Any last thought you want to leave with folks?
Well, no. I mean, there are all these – so many of these dishes are related to others. I keep thinking of the most significant one is mock shoe from the Creole country.
Oh, uh-huh.
Mock shoe. It isn't a mock. It isn't a mock shoe. It's mock shoe. I don't even know what it means. But it is a mixture of corn and peppers and onions, but it goes in a different direction from, say, the Pennsylvania Dutch way of doing corn and peppers and onions. Which in that one, you use a lot of pepper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of black pepper.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one night I was making it, and the lid fell off of the pepper shaker.
You probably didn't want quite that much.
No, but everybody else did.
Oh, man.
They absolutely adored it. It was so heavy with pepper, but it was very, very good.
Well, we got to go. Doyle will be back next month. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes.